I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. I have calmed down. I'm calmer now, Hugh, than I was a few minutes ago.
I'm happy, man. I was a little worried about you, man. You turning red a little bit.
Yeah, I was matching my sweatshirt today.
Yeah. Yep. I was worried for Hugh's safety.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I wasn't mad at Hugh. No. I mean, it was Jay.
Well, I know, but
yeah.
Like, you know.
Oh, because he, like,
collateral damage. Yeah.
Well, like, one time I threw the pen by accident at him.
Yep.
I slammed the pen down.
You have a tendency to get
and
violent.
It hit me in the eye.
Yeah, I apologize for that. I'm sorry. It won't happen again. All right. Now, this segment, we'll get to everyone's phone calls here. We're also going to talk about the elephant in the room from yesterday, which... Again, I had some water the last break, so I'm definitely calmer because I know that we're going to get I told you so Douglas in this segment. So I'm prepared for it. I won't be mad at him. I know it's he's arrived.
I'm not going to do that.
Well, but you did.
I did.
You did tell us so.
Well, I kind of knew this was going to probably be the case.
That's a softer way of saying I told you.
Well,
so.
it's one of those things where, you know, there's a lot of fan base that this fan base, especially the Sixers fan base, they probably were feeling some kind of way about all this. And, you know, a lot of them were like, probably had their arms folded and said, I don't believe you. You know, and so there's probably some folks that feel vindicated by the way, you know, that press conference went.
All right, let's hear yesterday after the game. So what we're talking about is obviously a large Knicks fan contingent in the building yesterday.
It was deep.
Yeah, look, I was... not surprised yesterday. Friday, I was a little, you know, Friday I was hoping it was going to be a big Sixer crowd. Yesterday, after going down 0-3, right, on Friday night, and then yesterday being Mother's Day, I'm not surprised if some people just tapped out after and just sold the tickets on Saturday. So that doesn't surprise me that there were more there yesterday. It did not sound great. Let's hear Tyrese Maxey asked about what it's like in your home building when there's a lot of the opposing fans there.
Do you use it as fuel?
Yeah, it absolutely sucked, if I'm being honest. It just sucks, bro. It just sucked, man. Yeah, it just sucks. That's really all I can say about it, man. Like, it's hard. It's definitely difficult. You know what I'm saying? And it's only one way to put a stop to it. And it's we have to go out there and win these games. Like, we, just being completely honest, we were better when we played them in the Garden this entire season.
Yeah, I mean, look, he stops short, Hugh, of criticizing the fans. He doesn't give he just says, like, the reality of it is it stinks as a home player when it doesn't feel like your home game.
Yeah, it does, man, and it's tough. And the only way, this is going to take some time to change because, you like I said, Joe, I felt like there was a lot of people that feel really burned by the process. I mean, that's the only way I could think about it. It's like they enjoyed the run that they were on, but there were too many similarities to the past of things that have happened in the past. And when they heard it, some people probably sat there and they thought about going to the game, but it felt too much like it felt in the past. You know what I mean? Especially when you talk about this money situation sitting over here, you still support the team, but you know, you got guys asking you to play or whatever, or asking you to come to the game, I should say. And you're like, well, I don't know. And then people are offering you a ton of money for your tickets. So they took the easy route. Hey, you know, if it changes, I'll go to the game Sunday or whatever. And it didn't. And that's probably where they are. I'm not mad. That's why I said I'm not mad at the fans. They've been through this for years. This has been like a decade, right? And they've been told some of the same stuff in the past and they just didn't believe it. I felt it was more that than anything. There were some that supported them and they went. But it was not enough because they don't feel that anything is going to change as far as, you know, the outcome is going to be.
Yeah.
And, you know, not to add insult to injury, but they were right.
Well, here's the insult. Let's listen to Josh Hart. And we had a caller in the first hour, and we think this is who she may have been referring to. Right? She mentioned Josh Harris said something after the game. Don't think we have that. And I don't think that exists. But Josh Hart, the Knicks forward, obviously the former Nova player, had this to say. And this is the insult to add to everything.
How many Knicks fans were here today?
Nah, man, because everybody was begging for Philly to not sell their tickets and all that stuff. So, man, yeah, I used to think Philly was a sports town. don't know if it is anymore.
You know what bothers me? The giggling
background. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, but hey, this is what happens when you relinquish the big piece of chicken. And right now, for today, the Knicks have the big piece of chicken, man. I mean, it is what it is. And it hurts, you know, when you talk about some of the stuff that was said last week about certain individuals. And, you know, now the Knicks have come down here and, you know, they broke out the brooms last night. It hurts. But what can you do? Unless you're going to go out there and swing on some folks.
Well, I don't think that's going to help anything.
We're not going to do that. But that's the only recourse you have left now is because they get to say what they want to say. You know,
so I do think this is a very specific Sixers thing right now. And this to your, I'll agree with you on this point, Hugh, that people are just,
they're fed up, man.
They've checked out, in a lot of ways, and they've allowed this to happen. And then the Knicks fans are taking advantage of it, because just a couple years ago, the Phillies played the Mets in the postseason here. Right. I mean, we had two games. Yeah. I was at one of them, and you know, it made sense considering the proximity. I remember being there that day and thinking, I don't know, there's a few thousand Mets fans here out of the 40,000. But it was not overwhelming. It was not a big thing. You know, just little pockets of orange or blue, but it was mostly red, right? It was a Phillies crowd. Same people. I mean, these are all the same people from the same area. So it didn't happen to the Phillies in 2024 when the Mets came in for a playoff series, but it's happened twice to the Sixers with the Knicks.
Yeah.
It feels very specific to the Sixers.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's been a problem with the Sixers for a while. And I think, you know, we'll play what Maxey said. I think he had the right response to it. Like, it's our fault. Because game four, I understood. You're down 0-3. Nobody wants to see that. And like, if you know anything about the Sixers, if you're a real Sixers fan, you know that they were just going to put on a masterclass of rolling over and dying.
No one does it better.
And lying down for the Knicks. So why the hell would you want to go? Why would you want to go to that? Game
especially
three
on Mother's Day.
Yeah, masterclass right. is crazy though.
That's what they do. Well, I mean, it's what they're best at.
11 threes by the Knicks in the first quarter. That's a masterclass.
They had. Was it either Jalen Brunson or the squad? I think it was Jalen. He had five games where he was shooting over 50%.
Brunson was unbelievable.
He killed him, yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, it's up to the players in game three to give the Sixers fans a reason to be the loudest ones in the building.
Yep.
Because we wouldn't have had to hear all the Knicks fans there. And, like, not going to take the bait from Josh Hart, because I know that Philly is a better sports town than New York, transplant city, get lost. But he has the right to say that after what they did.
The victor goes to spoil.
Yeah. So, like, you know, whatever, dude. You got it.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much we could fight back with right now. I mean, he won, and they were the better ones this series by far. 215-592-9494. Joe in Mayfair is up on WIP. Hey, Joe.
Well, it's not a good morning for a Philadelphia Sixer fan this morning.
It's not.
And it's the same old, same old. Listen, the Sixers acted like they won the championship by beating Boston. They didn't show up for this series at all against the Knicks. We all see it as fans. What I don't like is the unprofessionalism that's being shown by the players on the Sixers, including Maxey. Like, Maxey's been on this team long enough to know that this is the same old song and dance. It is the embiidismit era. And I give him credit, Joel, for what he did in the Celtics series. But for this team to come out on Mother's Day and be down 20-4 before you make a sandwich, and you can see in the first 3 to 4 minutes, this is the same as it was when we lost to Boston in 2024 in Game 7, that the team has no fight when their backs are against the wall. And I think what the players did is they saw all these New York Knicks fans in the stands and said, hey, I guess our fans didn't want to come out and support us today, so let's not even play today. And that's where I think the unprofessionalism comes in. They showed no pride at all yesterday. You know, playoffs isn't just winning one round, it's winning four rounds. It's showing up every night and giving the best you have. Maxey did not. I don't want to hear it. He doesn't deserve any excuses with the finger. He quit. He pulled a James Harden like we got on Harden 2 years ago. He pulled a Harden the last couple games, and he's got to own that. And we're a little soft on him. We are. We're a little soft on Maxey. He's making max money. He has been in this team for 5 years plus. And if you're going to be labeled a top 10 player in the NBA or top 3 or 4 shooting guard, you got to come down harder on him, and we're not doing that as a sports station.
Well, yeah, he didn't play well enough. Like, he didn't play well. He wasn't even close to Brunson. I mean, Brunson's better than him, but he's got to be closer. The gap between those two in this series, Joe, was startling.
Yeah, he had no courage. Embiid sometimes has no heart. And again, like, this is the Wizard of Oz, this whole organization, and it's enough. Daryl Morey's an absolute joke as a GM. We're over the cap next year already, and we're not even going to have Oubre or Drummond to re-sign because they're over the cap, and he's not going to go over the luxury tax. So you're bringing back the same crap for three more years unless Embiid decides to not cash the paycheck and retire. He's untradeable. $62 million this cat's going to make in 3 years. And you're going to slow down the process of Edgecombe. Because what kind of offense can you absolutely run when you've got someone who's as hobbled as he is in and out of the lineup? Like, what is Nick Nurse going to do over the next 3 years with this contract? And you're supposed to have Edgecombe grow as an individual on and off the court when you have this clown show called the 76ers. And I want to get to the Flyers, too, real quick. But it's just a clown show, this absolute joke. And, Max, it is your fault that these Knicks fans were in the stands because we all saw after the first three games that you guys didn't care anymore about winning at all. So why wouldn't they make a few bucks and not come to the game? Like, it's just an embarrassment to be a Sixers fan this morning. It really is.
Well, it's a two-way street. Yeah, yesterday made sense what that crowd was. It did. On Mother's Day, I get it. Friday, I expected more, but Sunday, I mean, come on. By then, it was over. Joe, what do you think on the Flyers?
Flyers, to me, you know, I'm a Canes fan, but it's the Flyers are on their way to becoming a better organization, but the next 3 to 4 steps that the GM and ownership make on who they bring in to mix is bigger than Vildar. It's bigger than what you have in the youth right now. It's what you give up to get, because the free agency class this year is not there at all. You know, if you can get rid of a Michkov for a Brady Tkachuk, and that's a lot of Rumorville going on right now, I'd do it in a country second. Add him with Zegras and Martone on a line is physical and quick and bruising. And it's a shame that Owen Tippett had a sports hernia. It's a shame that York had the cracked rib. I mean, there are injuries, and Dvorak had a separated shoulder. That's all come out from Bill Meltzer. And it's a shame, but in the NHL, to win 4 rounds, you're going to get beat up and bruised. And NHL hockey players play with injuries like beyond belief to go through 4 rounds, that they get battered and bruised. But to be a Flyers fan, I'd be absolutely proud that a team that never quit on any shift in this series against a dominating team that just pummels you when they get the lead, and the goaltending that they had to overcome with Anderson. You know, the Flyers don't hit 12-17 posts in the series. It's a little different game, but that's NHL playoffs. There is no blowout in the playoffs except maybe one game a series. Every game is a third period. Every game you come down to pulling the goalie. Every game it's hitting or missing a shot by 2 to 3 inches. And the Flyers didn't back down from that, and got to be very proud of that. But the next key is this offseason of not just throwing wasted money at players. The next, you got to add to this team. And this free agency list is, I wouldn't go after anybody in that free agent pool whatsoever. If you want to trade for a younger guy, bring him in and get rid of a Mishkov or a Lushanov or whatever, you can do that.
Yeah, this is always the tricky part. Yeah.
Sound pretty eager to dump Mishkov.
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, I mean,
Him and Tockett are never, ever, ever, ever going to mix. And Brady Tkachuk is a Flyer.
Hold on. Porter Martone is going to be their Brady Tkachuk. You don't need two of them on the same line.
No, I think Martone's more of a Shanahan. I think he's more of a. He's not going to be. I don't want Martone.
Martone's going to have to live in front of the net. He's live in front of the net guy.
Joe, good phone call. So here's a couple things to unpack from Joe's call because it was interesting there.
What you got?
Well, I mean, I think even though they were on separate sides of the fence, it was the same concept that Kyle and Joe and Mayfair just had was. This offseason is interesting to how they try to get better, right? It's not a great free agent class. So the best path for the Flyers, if they want to add something significant, is probably the trade market, right? Who is the right trade piece, and do you give up Michkov to get that person? That feels like, just my quick view on the offseason, feels like that is the dilemma for Jonesy and Breer. How do we get the next piece?
Do you want to go older, or do you want to go young? Do you want to keep with the young guy?
And do we cash in Michkov to get the right piece?
So, all right, but my issue with what Joe said is they're going to have to pick between Tocchet, Michkov. Maybe true. You never pick the coach. You never pick the coach.
Oh, wow.
No, dude, you know how...
Unless you don't believe in the player.
Well, sure. But do you know how quickly NHL teams cycle through... like
2 or 3 years.
You have a way bigger chance to regret letting a young talent like Michkov, who fell to you at the 7th overall pick.
Right.
Way bigger chance of regretting that, seeing him perform somewhere else, than a coach who, you know, God forbid, he gets fired after another year or so, goes to another team. What's he going to do? Have success for another season, like, and then get fired from that team again?
That's hockey.
Come on, man. That's ridiculous.
So the other thing that Joe said, Hugh, I thought was interesting, is that the Sixers treated the Celtics series like their championship. I kind of agree with them. It does feel like the way because they were down 3-1, right? Because it was the Celtics, it did feel bigger. I wonder if there was a natural... game one, we all felt it, right? Like game one, they didn't feel like they were engaged because it was a short turnaround. It does feel a little bit like that was their championship. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, crap, we got a buzzsaw Knicks team shooting 50% against us.
You know what's funny? When Joe dropped a lot on us, and I tried to sift through it. I'm not saying he was wrong, because I feel like there was a lot of his truth to what he said. I don't know, man, about... It's kind of hard to digest about the Sixers series. And I was trying to understand and wrap my mind around him being as hard as he was on Maxie. I kind of get where he's coming from, but I don't think that's fair, because Maxie's still in that coming of age mode to me. And there are times where you can see, obviously, that he defers to Joel Embiid, and there are times where you can still see he's a young player. I hear you, Joe, but I don't think to levy that kind of criticism on him because he's making a whole lot of money, I don't think that's fair, because there's still some maturation that has to go on in this situation. But I get where you're coming from. I'm not going to poo-poo at all, but I just feel like when you talk about where the leadership should be coming from this team, to me it feels like it should be more Joel.
Yeah.
And it feels to me like Maxie's trying to become a leader, but he's kind of stuck in that in between because of the way that the team treats Joel Embiid.
To give you a little context on where Maxie is in his career compared to other, like Joel, Maxie is 26. That's the age Joel was the year that Ben Simmons wouldn't dunk against the Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That was, you know, I just think back to the reaction of then. That was all about Ben ruined it. Ben ruined it. That's Maxie is the same age now as Joel was then.
Mm-hmm.
And we took Joel off the hook. Look, and this goes back to when I was yelling at Jay, and Jay was yelling at me. I don't think Maxie played well enough in this series. I don't think I ever said he did. I didn't feel like I was giving Maxie a pass. I mean, I don't think anybody
was giving him a pass.
He didn't play well
enough. But when you look, because I look at it like this, it feels like from my Barker Lounger that when you integrate Joel Embiid into this, it kind of hampers everybody else. Now, it's worked to our benefit a few times. But I think you have to try to figure out how to try to find a happy medium, because he's going to be here.
Yeah.
And that's the issue, because it feels at times like, you know, Maxie's told to take the leadership reins, and then when Joel comes back, he kind of has to defer to him a little bit. So it feels like it's not all on Maxie in this situation to me.
Let me ask you a question. And the other piece of context for this series is Maxie seemed to re-injure a tendon in his shooting hand, right? So that probably impacted him.
And I tell you what, man, I've never played basketball. But to injure a tendon in your shooting hand, that kind of throws everything off.
Let me ask you a question, because you're kind of alluding to how it's some nights Maxie's got to do a lot, right? And then some nights Joel is feeling it, or he's in, and he's playing.
And you're
trying
to get the big fella involved.
And you're kind of deferring. Hugh, I'm going to ask you a question back to your career, and I don't know how you're going to answer this. Do you think it would have impacted you if some games you're the guy that's got to get to the quarterback, right? And then some games they tap you on the shoulder an hour before the game and say, we need you to take on double teams so someone else could get the sacks. An hour before the game, because Friday night, or game three, an hour before the game, we find out Joel is in. Would that mess with your preparation and mentality that you don't know before every game what your role really is?
You know what, Joe, I would like to think, and you're asking me this, I've never been in this situation, but I like to think I would be enough of a team player that would be the case. And to be honest, most times that I played anyway, I was getting double teamed. So it's not that's not something that I feel is far-fetched.
But do you think it could affect the player?
I think that if the path, say if the path was a little different, I would still try to do my thing.
Yeah.
But if that was needed of me that night and somebody else had to step up, I would like to think that wouldn't have been an issue.
I think at times it's got to be challenging for Maxi, right? He's the guy, and then he's kind of the guy. I don't think he played well enough in the series.
And then you have to defer.
Yep, he needs to be better. And to go back to the larger point we were arguing earlier, I don't think it's a guarantee the Sixers win a title with Maxi and Edgecombe as their two best players. In fact, they probably won't. I mean, that's just the reality of the NBA. But I think they have a much better chance handing the keys to those two kids, one definitely a kid, one kind of still young, and seeing what the next 5 years are than just going down this path like, oh yeah, it'll work next year. No, it won't. We could say it won't. Now, how they get there, I don't know. We'll talk about it on the other side. What's next? We'll predict the future of some key members of this organization, including Daryl Morey. Who is he speaking today? Are we going to hear from Daryl today?
Oh.
No, I probably not.
I don't know.
Well, I was just wondering because the season ended.
I haven't seen it.
I don't know.
He hightailed it off to Chicago.
Yeah, he left to Chicago. What wonderful.
He bounced.
He bounced out of here. 215-592.
How does that bode for his future here?
94-94. It's the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Tired of you long looking like the losing team? Man, take your pick. Over the weekend, Flyers, Sixers, two sweeps down in South Philly. Brutal. Step up your game with Turf Tech, the Delaware Valley's leader in premium artificial grass. Their custom turf looks real, feels real, and plays even better. No mowing, no mud, no stress. Contractors, landscapers, homeowners, buy their durable premium turf at one of their dozens of distributors. Or you can go directly and pick up in 24 hours or get it delivered in just 2 to 3 days. Visit turftech.com. That's T-U-R-F-T-E-K. Turf Tech, the yard you've always dreamed of.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
To live. Placing promises. A kiss for luck and we're on our way. Wait a minute, what are we playing this for though? We've only begun.
Well, we're kind of stuck with the Sixers roster, Hugh, so we've only just begun. We've only just begun. And it's the beginning of the offseason, so we got to unpack this. All right, welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Zill, your reaction to all things Sixers. The Flyers get swept as well, though we feel better about them. Phillies have a good weekend. But I'm hammering the Sixers today. And specifically, I just think the Embiid era ended yesterday. Whether or not he's still here or not, it's over. Like, they have to move this team away from him being the focal point. It doesn't work anymore. And it needs to be more of Maxi and Edgecombe's team. All right, Hugh, let's get to the people involved, and then we'll get to something Joel Embiid said yesterday that I actually liked and I agreed with.
What you got?
With his future, someone's future here. But let's start with the two people that are responsible for the product on the court. We start with the executive up top. I mean, we could yell about the owner, but we can't do anything about him. He'll own the team until he sells it. The executive that builds the team, the coach that coaches the team. Let's start with the executive, Daryl Morey, who is not going to speak today, from what I understand. He left to go to the NBA Combine in Chicago. Convenient timing for Morey to duck out. We'll see when we hear from him. Hugh, your thoughts on Morey? Should he be back? Will he be back?
Should he be back? No.
Will he be back?
Yes.
I agree with you on both.
Be back.
I think he'll be the executive again. I'd move off him today, but they're not going to do that.
I think it's kind of crazy. Do we have a first-round draft pick?
Number 22. That's the pick we got from the Rockets via the Thunder from McCain.
So the 22nd pick.
22nd
okay,
pick.
Okay. Can't kill him too much for that, though. Because if we didn't have a number one pick, I'd probably have a little bit more to say.
But would you rather
about
have McCain or the Rockets pick?
Well,
I'd rather have McCain.
Yeah, I mean, well, we were just talking about in the break, how much would he have helped you in get a win yesterday? I don't think a whole lot.
Well, when you're down 47.
Yeah, I don't think a whole
one
lot.
One player can only do
so. I mean, I get it. You're trying to figure out what's best for the team, so I'm not going to kill him for that. But it is kind of convenient that the team collapses the way that it did, and you're not here to answer questions.
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy.
Look, there's nothing specifically, I guess, the McCain trade We don't know. It was that owner-driven? Was it all Maury-driven? I don't know. But the reason I would move on from Maury today is the two contracts, right? Like Embiid's
You're talking about Paul George?
And Embiid. Yeah. Like, think about where...
How mad are we at Paul George, though? I mean, he was pretty decent.
Well, how much
mad
do you...
Mad at or just, like, whatever?
Yeah. Also...
No, I'm not, like, mad at him. I'm mad at the idea of Paul George.
How much credit do we give him for being decent when he got to have 25 games off while everyone else played?
Yeah, he was pretty decent.
Yeah, no, I know, but... Would he have been decent if he had to play the full season? Like,
well, I mean, that's the things you have to figure out because there's a lot of blame to go around.
I know when I think back to his because he did have a pretty good postseason. At times I wondered like, oh, is he back or oh, did he get 25 games off to rest his body while everyone else is playing?
Well, you know, I thought that for brief moments, and then he went that entire like second half without making a single shot.
He did,
and he basically just looked like Tobias Harris 2.0.
That's true. So he was guy, yeah. So all right, Maury. I'd move on. They're going to bring him back. Now, I think the more interesting one is actually Nick Nurse. I would bring Nick Nurse back. Now, my question I have for Nick Nurse is, does he want this job any longer? There was a moment...
You talking about last? I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, there was a moment yesterday...
He was like, Lord, have
where
mercy.
He like soaked in his chair. Like he just fell back, right? And
yeah.
It reminded me, Brett Brown did that. It may have been his last series here. It may have been one of the ones before. I forget when it was. But it was towards the end of Brett Brown. When he just like fell over backwards, like, oh, what the hell?
This is
not an easy team to coach. You never know what you're getting from your most expensive guys. One of your players is 20 years old, so there's the natural up and down of having a player that young in the NBA. The one guy you can mostly count on is Maxey. Unfortunately, he didn't play his best in the series. Hugh, should Nurse be back? Will he be back? And then I want to add something I saw written by Tony Jones in The Athletic about some tensions around the Nurse thing. But what's your thought on Nurse?
I think he should be back. I think he did a pretty decent job under the circumstances.
I agree.
I feel like on the outside looking in, I feel like a lot of nights he probably didn't know what was happening with his own squad.
I agree.
Doesn't it feel kind of like that? And he was doing the best that he could to pivot in the moment. So I'm not mad at him for that.
Okay.
It just feels like somewhere this organization is disjointed. It's just like as far as
completely,
as far as what's about to be done the night before and the conversation between, you know, the players and the medical staff, if you will, or the trainer staff or what. Yeah, it just feels like there's a little bit of a disconnect.
All right. Perfect segue here, Hugh Douglas, the king of the segue and the transition here. So you didn't even know this, but I'm going to read this to you. So this story on The Athletic this morning about the future of the Sixers, Nurse, Maury, Embiid, all this kind of stuff, right? Remember when Joel Embiid put out the post on April 1st about wanting to play and then they wouldn't let him play
and it was, yeah.
So here's from Tony Jones' article in The Athletic. Quote, on April 1st, the same day as Embiid's social media post, a handful of players met with members of Philadelphia's coaching staff before a shoot around in Washington to express concern over certain players' participation in team activities and frustration over the direction of the 76ers season, multiple league sources told The Athletic. Among other things, according to those sources, they felt there wasn't enough control of the locker room. The meeting was tense enough to briefly imperil the team's shoot-around. However, the conversations resolved enough that the activity was able to proceed as planned, those sources said. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Was the timeline, Kyle, of Joel not playing on April 1st was he was not able to make the shoot-around?
Yes.
They ruled him out.
Yep, that was upset. When he tweeted that they're not letting me play.
So... Look, we could try to figure out what this means, but the way it reads is, on that same day of the Embiid social post, the day he didn't participate in the shoot-around, a handful of players met with Philadelphia's coaching staff before shoot-around in Washington to express concern over certain players' participation in team activities and frustration over the direction of the season. Hugh, your speculation
recklessly?
On...
Recklessly? Oh, you know who that is. You know what it is, and that's what it feels like. The fact that you're coaching, like, this is what it from my layman view, it feels like you're getting your team ready for the game, right? And okay, say Joel isn't playing, so now you're running different offenses and different plays for the guys that are playing, and like an hour before the game, you have to integrate him into the offense and figure out a way to work. And to the credit of the young players, they do the best that they can under the circumstances. That's why. You know, and I'm not picking on Joe, but it feels like a lot of what Maxey's going through is not his doing. You know what I mean? It's like he's trying to be a leader and a good soldier all at the same time because he feels that that's what he has to be, but he's also getting his legs kind of cut from underneath him because of what the organization is doing.
I agree.
And that's what it feels. That's me recklessly speculating. I haven't talked to anybody. I don't know. And to your point, Joe, I didn't know you were going to read that story. That's what it feels like. Because a lot of times it feels like Maxie's in a rhythm. And when Joel Embiid's out there, it feels like he kind of gets out of a rhythm or is trying to play catch up a little bit. So, it does feel like that.
The other thing I think they're going to have to figure out, right? I want to move off Embiid. I'd love to move Paul George. I recognize, just like you guys do, it's going to be really hard to do that. The only way I think they could get out of this, Hugh, and this is going to be really challenging, is they need to shift. It's almost like in football, shifting the targets. But in basketball, it's the shots, and it's the attention, and it's the distribution. The best chance they have to get out of where they are now is Edgecombe taking a big leap, right? And that can happen. Mm-hmm. He was very good as a 20-year-old. I don't see any reason why, with his work ethic and his athletic ability, that he doesn't take a leap. But you know what he needs? He needs shots. That means Paul George has to take less shots. It means Joel Embiid has to take less shots. Those shots need to go to Edgecombe. Next season, Maxie and Edgecombe need to take the most shots on the team. I mean, that's it. And if they don't, it is a problem. Let's hear actually one thing Joel Embiid said yesterday that I did really like, and I think he's right about this, talking about the future of VJ Edgecombe here in Philadelphia.
VJ is up next. Philly got a good one in him. He's the guy. I'm telling you guys, that guy is something different. And this was only year one. You know, year two is going to be better. Year three, even better. But he has a chance to be extremely special.
That's as high of a praise we've seen Embiid have for a teammate in a while. I mean, I think he spoke similarly about Maxie, but Edgecombe's better at 20 years old than Maxie was.
Yeah, usually he's throwing him under the bus.
That's usually the end of these seasons. That was pretty high praise for VJ Edgecombe.
Yeah, you got to commend him for that. And it kind of makes you wonder. I would love to be a fly on the wall and hear some of the conversation they had about certain individuals not showing up to shoot around and how it goes after that. Because it seemed like it could get a little contentious, a little bit, you know.
Well, it's probably like, what the...
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Hell, like, we're trying to get ready for a game, and why are we all not here? What are we doing?
Yeah, I mean, it just feels like there's a disconnect. And sometimes I guess that happens when you're considered the man on the squad. And Joel Embiid is that. Like, let's not get it twisted. The way that they conveniently do things for him, let's not get it twisted.
Right, I know.
So he is that guy. So, you know, it's just one of those things where everybody else kind of has to fall into lockstep. It's clear that that's what's going on because he makes the decision on whether or not he's going to play. He clearly does that.
And everyone waits around
figure it out. Like you, and I can imagine how hard it is to do your job as a coach, you know, to get your team ready and then at the absolute last minute have to change everything.
I wasn't kidding when I said the decision with Nurse is, does he want to coach this team anymore? If I was Nick Nurse, I don't know. I mean, I might explore my options around the league before saying, yeah, I'm back. He's a good coach. He's won a championship. I'm sure he'd get another job. It's not like he's never going to coach again if there's openings around the league. The Nurse thing feels more, if I had a guess right now, Morey is back, and Nurse is probably. But more, it'd be more if, does Nurse really want to do this anymore? Let's go to Frank in Galloway. What's up, Frank?
What's going on?
Hey, Frank.
Hey, Joe, I can't agree with you more on almost everything you're saying. And you guys know my taking with the Sixers. I'm a big Sixer fan, but I've been on the pages on Facebook talking about Embiid and he should retire for a year or two now or be traded. And everyone, you know, wants to, you know, say you're crazy. No. You're right. You're 1,000% right. They never win nothing with him. He slows the ball. He slows everything down. He got 24 points yesterday because what kind of defense was the Knicks looking to play on him? I mean, come on. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, he put up some shots. He's a great shooter. Mm-hmm. He's just not that. He slows the game down. The Maxie does have to get some blame, but it's a little too early. Nick Nurse, I'm sorry, Nurse has to go. I mean, these guys should. You at least got to show some kind of fight. I mean, he just sits there and like everything's okay with him. Like Isn't he supposed to be like a defensive coach? Like, or I don't get this whole thing with him. He should be gone too. Embiid's got to be traded or retire. He's not going to retire. He's not going to want to give up the money. He's going to have the team hostage. And I mean, you know, George. I don't know. I'd give George another year if you have no other options. And BJ's got to shoot more. But as long as Joel's here, you're 1,000% right. They're not winning anything. I've been saying it for years.
Yeah, it's suffocating, Frank. And Frank, great phone call, man. We appreciate it. It's the Embiid thing feels suffocating because Hugh, you're right. He is still the guy when
he
plays.
That dude. He's definitely that dude.
But he's not. But he's not the same dude.
No, he's not.
And that makes it harder.
And I imagine this is how it is. He's still that dude in those hallways of that organization.
And so then for the young guys, they remember what he used to be, and they think maybe tonight he is that guy.
Yeah, and that's what it is. And this is the second time. And I think this is what rubs people the wrong way, because unfortunately for Joel, your actions and some of the things we hear about you don't line up all the time. And so we don't know. We don't know. We can only go by what we see. But when you talk about, you know, going out there and giving maximum effort and getting healthy, there's been more than one story that has been reported that you really don't take your rehab that serious. And maybe that's part of the reason why you keep having these injuries. I don't know, Joe. You know what I mean? But there's multiple reports, you know, that you're showing up late for rehab. There's reports that you didn't rehab from one injury before, and then you got another injury. So whose fault is that? Partly it's yours, but it's also, to me, the organization for allowing you to get to that point where you don't have to take what you do or your rehab or your availability that serious.
The wild part, Hugh, for me, with where we are with Embiid is that contract, right, starts now. The 3-year, $190 million contract starts now. And I know this is probably like a pie-in-the-sky thing because – he would have asked for more money if they didn't give it to him at some point. But like, imagine if yesterday was the end of his contract. If they never gave him the extension, yesterday would have been the last day of the last contract. That means yesterday would have been $60 million coming off the books. They could have had $60 million to build around Maxey and Edgecombe. I mean, like, think about how much I would feel so different about the team, even with George here. I mean, whatever, you know. He's not great, but like, okay, I could deal with that.
A little bit better.
I could deal with one.
This weekend was an indictment on the weenie scale.
Oh, yeah.
It's not tipped nearly enough.
No, we thought it tipped a lot. And
it did not.
The young guys can only tip it so much. It's tough. You have a take on the weenie scale?
Yeah, Hugh, your take on the weenie scale?
No, I'm just like, can you hear Kyle at his breath say it's tough? He said it was tough.
We ain't getting ready to be in a bracket.
No, I'm just like, I mean, it's a lot to digest.
We haven't got one of those out of you today.
No, I'm saying it's a lot to digest with this team, man. And I'm sitting here.
And it all makes you feel sick.
And I'm listening to what people say. Because I had a feeling it was going to be like, I had a feeling there were going to be people that felt.
No,
I'm talking about feel this way about the team. Not so much about going to the game, but just feel this way about the squad. There's a lot of mixed emotions when it comes to this squad.
And, I hear mostly hate.
Mix anger, sadness, or rage?
Yeah, when you talk about it like that, it's basically the same thing. It was just like different iterations of the same. Yeah.
It's just like what's coming out at the moment.
It's a mix of what kind of negative emotions.
I try to give Joel the benefit of the doubt, man. But when he said, hey, we want y'all to come to the game and I'm going to pay y'all, I was like, ugh.
Stop giving people the benefit of the doubt.
I can't help it, man.
That's what happens.
That's your biggest problem.
You get burnt. It
is. I can't help it.
Your biggest flaw is trying to see the good in everybody.
To see the good in everybody.
See the bad.
I feel like that was a positive.
Nope.
To see the good in people.
Not on this show.
No, but we got to change that a little bit. We got to start seeing the positive.
Well, hold on. We tried. Disagreed. We gave the Sixers love. And look what they did.
You see what happens?
We did.
It's what happens when you open your heart.
Never.
The lesson is never open your heart.
You forgot.
Never open your heart.
We all forgot. You know who doesn't forget? Art in Philly. He doesn't forget anything. Art, what's up, Art?
Thanks for taking my call. I really have a lot to say. First of all, I'm sick of the whole town praising this guy. And what back in the day, we had Wilt Chamberlain, the greatest scorer in NBA history, and played more minutes than anybody. 48 minutes a game he averaged for the whole time. And nobody gives Wilt credit.
None.
They don't give Wilt the whole town. I mean, in
nobody
his
gives
day,
Wilt credit.
They changed listening. The whole town never gave him credit. They give this guy all this credit? Look. That's number one. Number two, He went to Overbrook High School. There was always a crowd over there when he was playing in that Tustin Field. That place was crowded. They were so up for this guy. He was tremendous then. And he's the strongest man in all the four sports. Nobody's stronger than him. Anyway.
What are you talking about?
The problem with the Sixers is the front office.
Yes.
Come on. Look, how do you let this Brunson and Hart get away on us?
Well, and then Bridges. I mean, they drafted Bridges, Art. They drafted Mikal Bridges.
I'm talking about Bridges. I'm talking about Hart and the guy,
Brunson.
The one-man record.
Brunson, yeah.
Brunson. I mean, real. That was in the second round. Now, the other thing, here's what I want to do.
What you got?
Get Embiid and get the other overrated player for the Eagles, Jalen Hurts. Put him on a slow boat to China and get him the hell out of here.
All right, Art. Well, I mean, all right, that's it. All right, Art, good phone call. Art brought a lot today. Art talking about Overbrook High School and obviously Wilt back in the day.
Well, yeah, Art's going to get us in trouble for that one.
Yeah,
for that last comment.
Yeah, that was a lot.
We're going to catch heat for that one.
Definitely.
That's on us.
I think he just wants them off the team. We clean it up. We clean it up. He wants them off the particular teams. That's all.
Yeah, that.
I think he was pretty specific about where he wants them to go.
No, I know. It was a little extra detail that we didn't need.
Need to go to the Shanghai Sharks.
That's all.
Yeah, we didn't need that.
I didn't expect Jalen to get ripped today.
Well, yeah, it's Art, man.
I know.
You never know.
Well, he's been done with Jalen for a while. Has he been done with Bryce too? I'm trying to remember where he's been on Bryce, because he's done with Embiid.
Good question. Wouldn't put it past.
It sounds like it's right up his alley to just be
well,
done.
Like, Art's pretty wishy washy. I mean, he hated Fangio. He hated Fangio after we won the Super Bowl,
and then
after Week One,
loved him.
He won him back.
Well, you know what? That's a fan. That's why I like Art. Because new information, new opinions.
Well, that was a little backwards logic there.
That's
but
okay.
But
as long as you arrive at the right answer. That doesn't, to me, the right answer is all that matters. It doesn't matter how you
Art's
get there.
Art's one of the guys I will not mess with.
No, and I would advise Hugh not to mess with Art either.
No, I tend to get a little quiet when
You afraid of Art?
No, I'm not afraid. I just don't want that smoke.
Have you started taking the stock tips? Because he gives us a lot of stock tips.
No,
when
he does. He does. I haven't had a chance to yet, but I've been looking.
Okay, let's go to Julio in Wilmington. What's up, Julio?
Julio.
Yo, fellas, can you hear me?
Got you, Julio. What's up, pal?
Okay. Yeah, imagine putting Embiid and Jalen Hurts in the same sentence. Huh. Like, yeah, I would never do that.
Well, one guy has the attitude that that you need, and one guy does not.
Yeah, one guy's an MVP.
Right.
Super Bowl.
Yeah, quickly, fellas. I just wanted to say that the Embiid era is over, and, I just feel like, I don't understand how people can blame Maxi when his best, the face of the franchise is unavailable and unreliable. You don't have a bench. You know, your coach is playing you and running you thin because you're really the only option that you have on the team. How can you possibly blame Maxi for this? I trust Maxi's bounce back more than I trust Joel's availability next year.
Oh, without question. So, without not even and Maxie's proven us, Julio, over and over again that he keeps getting better. I don't know, he may never be the best player in the NBA. That's a super high bar, but I didn't think when he got drafted, Julio, he could be an all NBA player, and he became one. So he always does this.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So I'm in the business of solutions when I'm seeing this team. What I see is that this is the best thing that I can come up with, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but here's my solution. It's just a suggestion here. I think going forward, I think we actually need to limit Joel Embiid's minutes per game, bring it down, get the production out of him, and save him long term. That's what I think. But also, I think you use him and the offense as a piece of the offense, not the offense. Run the offense through Maxine Edgecombe, use Joel Embiid as a piece of it, run the offense through him a little bit, and obviously there's the option where in some games if you need to run it through Embiid, obviously we've shown that he can do that. But I really believe you should use him kind of like the way you would Bam out of Bayou, not so much the rebounds and stuff like that, but You know, he's a good mid-range shooter. Mm-hmm. He can shoot threes.
His offense.
You know, he's a hustle player. Obviously, you're not going to get that from Embiid, but use him to move other guys around. And I honestly think if you do it like that, considering, you know, we keep PG and the team that we have, I think we might find some success like that.
So, Julio, it's a good phone call. Yeah, man, we appreciate it. I mean, he was saying that earlier.
You got to find a big man that can shoot and play defense.
Conceptually, it works.
Yeah.
Is Joel going to go along with being a part-time player? Like, well, he is a part-time player, let's be real. But, like, when he's playing, he plays 20 minutes, not 35. Is he going to be cool with that?
I tell you what, Joe.
That's the question.
I feel like I don't know the hierarchy over there for the Sixers. But it feels like Joel Embiid has somebody ear that's above everybody else in a situation like that. It feels like that. If that's Daryl Morey, if that's the guy that actually owns the squad, whatever. Because, you know, there's been reports that when things doesn't go Joel Embiid's way, he'll go above somebody's head.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's obvious that that's the case. So I guess if you're going to keep him here, there has to be a conscious effort next year going into it saying, hey, well, okay, this is how we're going to do it. And you have to allow me to coach. You have to allow me to put together the team the way that I see fit. And you have to allow me to police it the way that I see fit. And if you can't do that, then I don't want to be here.
I think it's very fair. Also, I think with that, maybe there has to be, like, if you don't come to shoot around, you don't practice, you don't play, right?
Yeah.
Like, we're planning. We're trying to – the whole thing is
I can't imagine
disjointed,
and I can't imagine what it's like for a coach if this is the case. Because I'm recklessly speculating here, but if this is the case, you're thinking that a player is not going to play, and you're building your game plan around that thought.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden, somebody, I'm assuming it's somebody that signs your check, says, "Hey,
taps you on the shoulder,
big fella, playing," and you're like, "Okay." I mean, how much pushback can you really have? You know, because they want him out there on the court, and it throws everything off.
It makes it hard.
Yeah, it makes it extremely hard.
I mean, you watch teams like the Knicks, and there's cohesion to the way they move the basketball play, because they almost play as one, and we don't have that. 215-592-9494. All right, Thursday, huge day in the NFL. We got to get to what we know about the schedule so far. NFL schedule's coming out on Thursday. We know something about week one. I have a guess on the Eagles' first opponent. I'll tell you about that next. Plus, a different kind of daily mock at 1 o'clock. Your calls on all this as well. It is the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.